Blog Talk Radio.
Well, today is April 28th. Hallelujah. We're just really moving right on through, aren't we? I just praise God for another night, another day. I had a blessed day today. Everything went well today. I've heard a lot from you today. We have a lot of people that are rejoicing and seeing a lot of things. And we have a lot of families that we're continuing to pray with and pray for. So God bless you, each and every one of you. And I invite you to come and get comfortable. And let's just take a moment and just relax. And just inhale and exhale and just say, thank you, Jesus, as we do both. As we inhale and exhale, just give him thanksgiving and just say, thank you, Jesus. He didn't have to do all the things that he did for us today, but he did. And we're thankful for that. So we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for our families all around us. Can you just say thank you, Jesus, for that right now? And someone is just saying thank you, Jesus, because I didn't know where the food was going to come from to feed my family tonight. And I say thank you, Jesus, for being a provider for that. Can we just say thank you, Jesus, for that? Someone says, I thank you, Jesus, for this peace in my home tonight. And I'm resting and I'm not in the midst of a fight as it has been. And can we just praise him and just say, thank you, Jesus, for your peace tonight. Someone is safe right now that was involved in an accident today. And your loved one, even though it was scary to get the call, but your loved one is alive. And they're well, and we should say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Someone's receiving healing in their body right now. And we just want to take out time to say, thank you, Jesus, for that. I know that you told your friends and you've got excited about you can bend now and you weren't able to bend before. And you've told a lot, so let's just take out time and just give him thanks for that. As we just say, thank you, Jesus, for that. And we just thank you, Jesus, for all different things that he's done in our lives, that individual. We just want to take out time and say, thank you, Jesus, for that. It may not be nothing that someone else even know about right now. It's something that you probably know that God has did for you today. Let's just take out the time to say, thank you, Jesus, for that. Something in your life could have been exposed and caused a lot of chaos today, but his love and his just great mercy, he's given you another opportunity for you to come clean with that before that whole situation just explodes. I beg you to take that opportunity to come clean, because as bad as it may be, the truth actually will set you free. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. I praise you, Lord. And we ask that you just show us what it is that you want us to hear, what it is that you are saying to us in our daily walk with you, Jesus. As we open up our hearts to receive your word, we say thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're just truly blessed to be in the land of the living. So I invite you to rate the show. It's very important that you rate the shows. And you can call in. The call-in line is going to be open. That number is 646-652-4916. And, of course, the chat rooms, also will be opening up. And just a few moments to everyone. So God bless each and every one for that. As you call in and as you sit with us in the chat room, and I love some of the responses that I get in the chat room, because it's just people are just honest. People just, they just want to be fed the word of, And, you know, and all of the things that's going on in life, they just excited to hear pure, unadulterated word of God, the truth. And that brings us to our topic today, which is bringing us and talking about love. And we're just going to take a few minutes tonight just to talk about love. You know, Jesus himself, Jesus is a love song. You have to fall in love with Jesus. I love Jonathan Butler's version of falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing that I've ever done, just falling in love with Jesus. And I know we look for love in so many places and from so many different people, but unconditional love is only like the Creator can give us. We find all types of love, and it feels good to be loved. It feels good to love someone. But when we think about the love that Jesus has for us, we can't match that. We can't find a match for that anywhere. I don't care how long and how hard we look. We're reading today from 1 Corinthians. We're going to read the 13th chapter. Don't worry, it's not a very long chapter, but it's a chapter that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to receive that's going to help you on your walk with love. Your walk of love will start again in 1 Corinthians, New Testament, and chapter 13, starting with verse 1. It reads, "If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal." It says, if I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It goes on in verse 3 to say, if I give all I possess to the poor and surround my body to the flames, but have not love. You see where we're going with this? Where the Holy Spirit is. This is the word of God. But have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It says that love does not envy. It does not boast, and it is not proud. Verse 5 says, it's not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Love is what we're speaking of, love. It's not easily angered, and it keeps, oh, here we go, praise the Lord. It keeps no records of wrong. We're speaking of love. This is the word. Join me, will you? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think it's so sad to look around sometimes, and we will see people who are still not speaking to each other, and they'll say, well, you know, back in high school, this person did this to me, and we didn't like each other then, so our kids don't like each other, and it just carries on. From the things that was going on when you were a child, ladies and gentlemen, in high school, and you're still carrying that same torch because something in high school happened to you, and you're 50 or more now? Come on. But we say that we love. This is not love. Hallelujah. Let's continue again. Let's do verse 6 again. Verse 5 again. It says, love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always, always protects. Love always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. But where are prophecies? They will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part as we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. As now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah. I invite you to open up your hearts tonight and get ready to not just hear about love, but to learn about love, true love. Get ready to just tell yourself, Seth, we're going to learn how to love tonight. And I don't care if you've been loving someone for most of your life. You're going to learn a new way of love tonight. You're going to, God's going to show you some better ways of loving. So if you've been excited about the love that you've been receiving and the love that you've been given, all get ready, get ready, get ready. God has something even more for you. Agape. Agape is the Greek meaning for love. Agape's meaning says God's fruit of love, which gives itself away with a pure motive and most generously. That's God's love, agape love for us. Hallelujah. Miracles can be counterfeited. Even gifts can be imitated. History is full of examples of such religious pretenders. But the fruit of the Spirit cannot be imitated. Why? Why is that? It's because the fruit of the Spirit is manifested by what a person is and not what a person does. Jesus Christ forever set the record straight when he said, "By their fruit you shall know them." This fruit is internal and external, lasting, while miracles will save. The most important part of the message which Jesus preached and which his followers taught is that God is concerned about what is on the inside and the further development of these traits through the Spirit. So we can dress up our outsides, but God is more concerned about the insides and those traits that from the Spirit. The power of Christ was not really in the miracles which he performed, but rather it was in the message which he left for us. See, our day is marked by the examples of the unreal, or maybe the false, the spin of our reality, which is not real at all. We can put things in our head to make them appear to be real. We can, in our minds, think someone is in love with us, and actually they're not in love with us. We can put all kinds of things, imaginations, in our head and even in our heart, and we put a false spin on it, but it's still not real. We should be known. We should be remembered by what we are rather than what we do. How about following this for a lifestyle principle? What you are, not your profession or what you do, not your title, but who are you? on the inside, in the midst of the world going upside down and different things that people in the world are doing, who are you? How do you react? We spoke about that on last evening. Your beauty should come not from outward adornments. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. It's of great worth in God's sight. Now, hear me from the spirit. Of course, there's nothing wrong with the outward adornments, but your true beauty should go beyond your outward adornments. Your true beauty should be represented by your inner self. Your inner self that's unfading. That's the beauty that if something happens to your outer garments, you still don't fade away into this little picture of ugliness. Your inner beauty outshines what it is that you are adorned with on the outward person of you. Hallelujah. And there are hundreds of definitions of love. But what does the Bible have to say about love? We just read 1 Corinthians 13. It tells about what the Bible says about love and how it is to be defined and lived out. So the question to you is, in your own life, how has love's true meaning been confused? Your answer may be different from mine and vice versa. So let's just take a look back again at 1 Corinthians 13. And for the sake of time, we're not going to read back through all of it, but I want you to go back through 4 through 13. 4 starts and it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, and it always trusts. It always keeps hope. We need a hope. We need to always trust in God, and it always perseveres. You got to always be willing to push forward with the Lord. Don't give up on God, because he's not giving up on you. Love. How the Bible, this is the God's word of love, how we should be living out love. Not just speaking it, but living it. It's been noted that 1 Corinthians 13, it paints a composite picture of the person. It paints a composite picture of a true character of God's love through Jesus Christ. So I just remind you to please reread the chapter. Replacing the word love, this time I want you to replace that word with the word Jesus. As you do, just meditate upon any new insights into the character of Christ which comes to you. As you replace, every time you come to the word love, replace it with Jesus. And just a little bit, it would sound something like this. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus is not rude. And as you go through, just allow God to reveal the true characteristics of Jesus Christ to you. And then begin to meditate on your new insights. Hallelujah. And then I want to want you to just think of one person into which you need to pour out some of this First Corinthians kind of love on. Just one person in your life that right now you need to just pour out some of this First Corinthians 13 kind of love on. You see, they really could use some of this love right now. Loving others. The most sweetest definition of love can be found in 1 John 4:16. It says, God is love. Simple, to the point, complete. It's easy to remember. God is love. Notice that it doesn't say God does love when he feels like it. God does love when you've only done something that is pleasing. But it says God is love. Not only when he feels like it. God is love. When you begin to pour out some 1 Corinthians 13 love, look around you. It could be right in your household that your family members are starving for your love. I know you smile as you go out together, but have you loved them lately? Are they starving for your love? So let's continue, will we? The Bible's most uplifting words to us when we speak of love, again, it's just for us to remember in the midst of when we don't feel like loving, is to remind ourselves that God is love. We are from God. So if we are out of his image, we should be in love. We should be able to draw, even when we don't feel like it, draw love from our Father. But we have to ask him to just pour his love upon us. Just love on me, Jesus. I need to feel your love upon me so that I may love upon others. And in the manifestation of who and what he is, God in his word proclaims love towards a needy world. And we are living in a needy world. The golden text of the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's where we have come into the equation, that God loves us into his kingdom. He loves us so much that he wants to be with us. He don't want any of us not to be back with him in his kingdom. The toughest thing about love is just being loving to others. Sometimes we get trapped into our own selves and we say, well, I can love me and my four and no more. That, you know, that's as far as my love carries me. You know, everybody else wants to disappoint me, or I can't just wear my heart on my sleeve and then I'm going to get hurt. Some people say, it's just me now. I'm just taking care of me. I may have a pet and I give it some love, but other than that, I'm blocking everything else and everyone else. I don't want to trust. I don't want to take a chance. The toughest thing about loving can be loving someone else. Some people are easy to love. Some people are just easy to love. But what about those unlovely people? You know, those that we even may consider those our enemies? What about them? How is it possible to love like God loves? It's an impossibility for us normal human beings. It can't be done alone. It can only be done in the power of the Spirit and the transformation of the human spirit. A pastor relates the following true story. During vacation Bible school, it was the pastor said he and his wife had an experience with the primary class that said a few things that they said they would just not forget. The class was interrupted on a Wednesday about an hour after or before dismissal when a new student was brought into the class. And the little boy had one arm missing, and since the class was almost over, she had no opportunity to learn any of the details about the cause of his arm missing or his state of adjustment. So the class teacher said she was very nervous and afraid that one of the other children would comment on his handicap or maybe, you know, say something that would embarrass him. And there was no opportunity to caution them, or so she just proceeded as carefully as possible. And as the class time came to a close, she began to relax. She asked the class to join her in their usual closing ceremony. She said, "Let's make our churches," she said, and clapped them in her hands together, her fingers interlocked. She said, "Here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors and there's," and then the awkward truth of her own actions struck her. The very thing she had feared the children would do, she had done. And as she stood there speechless, the little girl sitting next to the boy reached over her left hand and placed it up to his right hand and said, "David, let's make the church together. Not a whole lot is going to happen for the good in this world until we can team up with God and team up with other people to make life what it ought to be. Church, what it ought to be. Our society, what it should be. And even our homes, what they should be. Together, in partnership with God, we can reach out and touch all we might be hurting, or reach out and touch all of those that are incomplete." So how do we really learn how to love others? We can take another look at the ultimate chapter on loving others, and that is Luke 10. And it starts, you can start at like verse 25 and go through 37. And Luke 10, Luke is New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And if you start at Luke 10, and let's just read from 25, and we'll read through 37. And again, we're looking at, taking a look at an ultimate chapter on loving others. So here we go, Luke 10:25, and it reads, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And just who is my neighbor?' In reply, Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on to the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took the man to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, "Look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Now, which of the 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Jesus is asking the question. Verse 37 says, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. So that shows us a lot of things there in examples. It shows us, first of all, remember, it's not about your titles. It's not about your titles. But who are you really inside? The priest, I'm sure, was well-respected by his title. I'm sure he was well-respected by his outer garments. But who was he really on the inside? That he immediately changed over to the other side of the road and continued to walk and never had any mercy, never tried to help at all. So now that you know who your neighbor is, he tells us what? Go and do likewise. As we close tonight, I remind you to keep that as something that you carry with you tomorrow. As it could be something that's going on, you will know the opportunity when it appears before you. The opportunity for you to love others. And I remind you also, every word that you hear, every time that you're taught something, you are being held responsible to share it with someone else. You have been held responsible to love on someone else. You should be looking for opportunities to exhibit true love tomorrow, throughout the week, throughout the rest of your life. You should now be an example because it's something new that's been awakened inside of you. So I remind you, go and do to your neighbors, as the story just gave us example in Luke, and we read chapter 10, started at verse 25, and it's a parable, the parable of a good Samaritan. Will you be a good Samaritan? It is your opportunity. I'd like to remind anyone, but if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we don't want to close the broadcast without offering you the opportunity to come and follow God's instructions. Remember, he loves us enough that he wants to love us right into his kingdom. But you must be born again, and you must accept Jesus Christ as the one and only way back to our Father. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, just open up your heart right now, wherever you're at, and just receive him today. All you have to do is just say these words and then believe them in your heart, and you will be born again. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray, amen. If you just pray that prayer, congratulations, you now are a new creature in Christ. and all things have passed away. So behold, all things are new. All things are become new. All of heaven is celebrating with you. You have a brand new life with Jesus and a bright future filled with hope, filled with faith, and filled with love. We're Tri-Anointed Ministries. We're excited for you. I invite you to please go tell someone of your decision to follow Christ. It's so important. I would love to hear from you. You can reach us at walkwithmegod@aol.com or leave a message here at the Blog Talk Radio. Again, please, it's very important to reach out to someone as they lead and guide you on your new walk. And you have the opportunity to understand your salvation. And just what is it that's going on now? What does it mean to be saved? Remember, Christ is thinking about you, and he only wants the best for your life. You have a clean slate right now. Your slate has been wiped clean by our precious, precious, precious Father. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. We love you. Again, this is Evangelist Von Dumas signing off, saying Jesus is a love song.